Hello, good morning. It's Saturday morning. You're very welcome along to the weekend edition here on Highland Radio. Coming up on the programme, Making a Murderer is the Netflix documentary that's taken the world by storm. Stephen Avery's defence lawyers, Jerome Booting. Since the programme was released, he's given two interviews, one to Fox News and the other to the weekend edition. We talk of developments in the Avery case later in the programme. RTE are looking for you to take part in a new show to help you save money and maybe treat yourself to a car or something else nice. We'll tell you how you can get involved. The F1 Schools programme's back. We welcome back the Dynamic Racing team to the programme to discuss the competition. Have you concerns over your child's safety on the web? We have an expert on the programme to answer your questions. And there's live music with the amazing Seamus Maguire. Call 07491 25000, text 086 77 00 555, or tweet me at Greg Hughes 2. Okay, you're very welcome along to the show. It's a chilly Saturday morning. If you haven't got out of bed, stick the heating on before you do, because it is cold. Right, loads coming up on the programme. Lots I didn't mention there. So hopefully you can stay with us between now and 12. That's a very interesting subject we have coming up on the programme about child safety on the web. Maybe Santa brought a tablet or a phone or some other device into the house at Christmas. Are you sure no one's accessing what they shouldn't? Not on purpose, but perhaps being exposed to stuff that they shouldn't be. Well, it's a confusing area. If you have a question in that regard, get in contact with us now. As I say, we have an expert on the programme to answer your questions. Anything to do with web security, it doesn't have to be very young children, teens, even yourself. Whatever you want to ask us, get the questions in now. I'll be chatting to him anyway. Hopefully I'll touch most bases, but it's very important if you have a question that I can put that point across for you as well. So you can text us now, 086 77 00 555, or call Yvonne. She's waiting to take your call on 07491 25000. Lots of interest, of course, too, in that Netflix documentary, Making a Murderer. If you haven't seen it, you're probably going, what's everybody on about? But a lot of people have. We were delighted to secure an interview with Jerome Booting. He's one of the key characters in that television programme, and hopefully he'll give us an insight into it when we chat to him later on in the show, so please stay tuned for that. Let's see what's making the headlines if you pick up a newspaper today, starting with the Irish Times, their Saturday paper. CAB seeks to question O'Brien on tribunal findings. The Criminal Assets Bureau will look to interview businessman Dennis O'Brien about the findings of the Moriarty Tribunal report after it has gathered further material, according to a source with knowledge of the matter. I think the Irish Times can probably expect a solicitor's letter now. Elsewhere on the front of the Irish Independent, cold, calculated, heartless, Jason's family on Molly. The family of slain Jason Corbett says Molly Martin and her family have never apologised for his killing. Mr Corbett's wife, Molly Martins, and her father, Thomas Martins, were charged this week with the second degree murder of the Limerick man in the US last August. On to the Irish Daily Mail. €400 off bills in energy price war. Good news, isn't it? Let them battle as much as they like, because you're saving a few euro. Homeowners are being offered savings of €442 as the price war between providers becomes even more aggressive. Experts say the latest offer from Energia is likely to provoke, at least it's not just me spells things incorrectly, is likely to provoke a further reaction from rivals that will bring the cost of gas and electricity down even further. Shop around. It's one of those things you can save a fortune on. The Irish Daily Mirror. Kind Brendan's funeral gift. Brendan O'Carroll's some fellow, isn't he? How he's so successful, and it come rather late in his life that he really hit the big time. But he's not afraid to put his hand in the pocket to help others, or in fact use his time. And indeed, his whole family are the exact same. They're a credit. Kind-hearted Brendan O'Carroll's offered to pay for the funeral of a former homeless man who died on Christmas Day. The Mrs. Brown's Boy star phoned Lifeline after a caller revealed the Polish victim, 51, has not yet been buried due to a lack of funds. So fair play to Brendan there. The Irish Daily Star, missing man murdered, cops hunt killer after runner slain. This is Mikhail Raymer. He was found dead. I'm not familiar with that story, but it's covered inside the newspaper, and you can get more details on that if you wish. The Irish Sun, shallow grave. This is more on that story. A missing man was murdered and his body buried in his own back garden. Michael Raymer, 38, vanished after leaving work at a McDonald's restaurant in Limerick on December 30th. The other occupants of the house, a man and a woman, are assisting Gardaí with their inquiries. No arrests, though, have yet been made. Okay, that's a sample of what you can find on the front of your papers today. And our thanks, as always, to Kelly's Centra, a beautiful spot at the mountaintop in Letterkenny, for providing those papers for us. Right, any calls, comments, requests, someone getting married, someone celebrating a birthday? Indeed, if you want to hear a particular song, I'll see if I can dig it out for you. 086-77-00-555. Text the programme now, or indeed you can call us 07491-25000. It's a busy show between now and 12, so we better get cracking on, and we'll do that after this break. You're very welcome back to the programme. Now we're joined on it by Siobhan O'Sullivan. Hello, Siobhan.
Hi, Greg. How are you doing?
Very, very well indeed. Now, you had me in the intro to this when it said, do you run out of money halfway through the month? I was like, she's speaking to me. tell us what the concept is behind this new programme, Siobhan.
Basically, it's a new TV series for RTE One where we're going to look at handy ways of saving families or households money so that by the end of the month, there's a lot more expendable cash there for themselves. So I think, no more than you were saying, it kind of struck a chord with you. It struck a chord with me. It struck a chord with all of us in the office. It's a situation an awful lot of us find ourselves in because people are working hard. They're kind of time poor. They can't necessarily find all the best deals that are out there for paying their utilities, all that kind of stuff. So the families that we'll be working with, they'll get access to a team of experts who will be looking at the best ways of spending their money, basically.
So it's not necessarily about depriving yourself of stuff, because we throw out so much food that we buy. You know, often, even when it comes to meat, I find myself, you know, one for €6, two for 10, and I go, right, I'll go two for 10. I only need the one.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's all sorts of false economies like that that we all find we kind of fall into and think we're making savings when we're not necessarily. So really this program is a way of kind of having somebody step in and taking a look at your outgoings. I mean, most of us are good in lots of areas. We might be great at doing the shopping in a place where we're making savings, or we might be brilliant at finding the best mobile phone deal, but it's tricky to stay on top of it all. So this gives you access to an outside expert who will kind of analyse your spend and see where savings can be made, so that without really changing your lifestyle or without earning any more money, you actually end up with more money left over at the end of the month.
And the rub is, I presume, from the programme's perspective, maybe you can afford that car, maybe you can afford that holiday that you thought was just out of reach.
Absolutely. And people have all sorts of different things. Some people want to start building a nest egg. They want to maybe be able to build an extension to the house. They want to get that started. They want to put something for a college fund. They want to go on a holiday. There's loads of different reasons people want that extra bit of cash, you know, and the idea is to every month find a couple of €100, so by the end of the year you're adding up to a couple of thousand.
Right, we want Donegal people involved in the show. How can they get on it?
They can get straight through to us on the following number. This will bring them straight through to the production office. So that's 01-531-3864. And we'll talk them through the process and we'll take it from there. Or if they prefer to email, they can get us on money@animotv.ie. That's money@animotv.ie.
I think if you ever have to spell the name, you've got it wrong.
Oh, maybe. Hopefully not.
No, I'm only joking. Siobhan, I'm joking. Now, come here. It will require, though, divulging a bit of your information out there. I mean, obviously, it's a TV show and, you know, if you're an incredibly private person, it might not be ideal for you. Is that fair to say? Just what I'm trying to say is pitch it to me. It may suit.
Yeah, no, that's true. You will need to divulge some of your spend, some of your outgoings. People don't have to tell everything. It's not that. We don't want to go forensically into somebody's life and see exactly where every bit of money is going. I mean, there are things that they may not need to share at all, but we do need to get an overall sense of where somebody is at in their lives so that other people can relate to it. So, you know, an overall sense of how much money is left at the end of the month at the moment. And then we can find the savings and compare that. But yeah, it would need to be people who are open to discussing that type of stuff.
Yeah, well, they're doing it on Facebook anyway, maybe. So there's no harm doing it on RTE. When are you hoping to go into production?
We are going to get going in February.
Super.
So we'll be filming with families in February, and they'll be getting to meet the experts, and they'll be finding out ways of saving money. So anybody who's interested, I'd say just get in touch with us now, straight away.
Yeah, and from a viewer's perspective, it'll be interesting, actually, because I think it resonates with a lot of us. And, you know, maybe for your subject matter, for the people that go on it, you're probably looking, you know, because it's a TV show, you want an end result. But for a lot of people, a lot of us, you know, maybe we're edging further into the red every month. Or if a major problem occurs with your vehicle, you head around, you have to go to the credit union or something. So maybe it's just, you know, for a lot of people, it'll maybe just be how you can have that little bit of extra security financially.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that is what we're looking for. We're looking for people who are in very, very typical situations, you know, that all of us can relate to. So like that, like you say, if a big spend comes in suddenly in a month, it's kind of like, oh God, how am I going to sort that one out? So yeah, it's very, very typical families who are experiencing what most of us are experiencing today. And it's just going to be a way of finding very savvy, kind of handy ways of getting on top of those money managements.
All right, Siobhan. We have the number and the email. People will be more familiar with our contact details. And yes, if they want to give us a buzz, if they didn't quite pick up it from you, we'll pass it on and link it on our social media as well. It's been a pleasure speaking to you. Thanks for giving up your Saturday morning to us.
Brilliant. Thanks, Greg. Lovely to talk to you in Donegal. Bye.
Bye, Siobhan. Right, we're joined in studio by our next guests. They are Michael Lagan and Colm Doherty. Gentlemen, how are you? Nice to have you in.
Not too bad. Thanks for having us.
It's great to have you in. And you're a part of the Dynamic Racing team, and it was a year ago pretty much now that you were in anyway, weren't you? Were you in?
No, it's a different team.
It was last year.
Okay, what are they doing? They've retired now on their profits, yeah?
They've done.
They're helping us out a wee bit.
So you've taken over the mantle now, and it's all part of the F1 in Schools project. Tell us a little bit about that, because it's a global project, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a global project. So we are a team and we design a car. So we build a 3D model on a computer and then we send that off and it gets built into a car. It's about half a feet long. Mm. Then we take that to the competition and we race it. So in essence, it's really, we are a miniature F1 team. It's all the same stuff except compacted down.
Yeah, and I remember from last year too, it's not just about the design, it's about the promotion, it's about the social media, it's about coming on chatting to me.
Yeah, it's all about all
aspects.
Not
me specifically, but you know what I mean, radio and that kind of stuff.
It's about all aspects of the team and how you handle it, and it's very much just miniaturised down.
And how is a winner picked? Like, what is the, you know, what would separate you, the Dynamic Racing team, from, say, a team in France or another team in Ireland? Or
milliseconds.
Yeah?
Yeah,
just one racing, like.
So it's about you have to get the aerodynamics just as good as you can.
Just bang on.
And then the judges like innovation as well. They like teams that try and do something different. Like this year we're building our own track so we can test at school and try and get that time down just enough.
And you've taken something on here because I presume you have to do quite a bit of this outside of your regular schooling as well.
Yeah, a lot's done outside school. So a lot is done at home, you know, at night after school, because we just don't have a class for the subject.
And how are you all getting on? Because it's not just you two. There's Brian, Aaron, Kieran, Keevan and Kian as well. Is that right? Or are those the people from last year?
No, there's...
That's this year.
There's three other of us. Yeah. And yet we're all working hard, like, and there's all different, everyone has a different role in the team and they all do a different job to try and get us over the line.
So talk to us about the F1 car that you're developing. Do you follow, so obviously, you know, people, the real F1 cars, you know, they change shape over the course of years and that type of stuff. I mean, I presume you just have to try and come up with something a little bit different too as well, do you?
This year we're planning on cutting out the underbottom of the car, make it hollow, make the air go right through it and make it a bit faster. So
you have that, and that requires testing because you have to make the models, presumably, do you?
Yes, LYIT, they do the models for us. They actually make the car. Like, we design it and then we send it off to them and they cut it out for us. They mill it.
Brilliant, it's very exciting. And tell us about some of the other stuff that you have to do outside of, you know, designing it and making it.
Well, outside of actually making the car, we have a portfolio to do, which is 20 pages long, which is basically how we got to having a finalised car at the finals.
So you can't say, I downloaded it off the internet. You know what I mean?
The point I'm saying is
you have to. You also have to describe what you're thinking, the process, like what you're saying there, you know, that we, you know, explain how you're getting those milliseconds out of it.
How you decided on what materials to use, kind of what kind of way you're going to design aerodynamics, how you decide to promote the team. Every aspect has to be detailed and on the portfolio.
It's excellent, exciting. So where are you at now in terms of the project?
We're just trying to get those air pages all sorted out, trying to get them to print and inspect and send them off in the CBM signs and get them all printed out.
Yeah, and one of the big things in Formula One is cash. And part of sort of mirroring that, you are looking for a sponsor too, aren't you?
Yeah, we've had some great sponsors this year. McDonald's and Kelly's over the road and Karen Murphy have all been great help to us in the competition and how we got here.
It's great that local businesses are helping you guys out as well too, which they always do.
Yeah.
Not just the ones you mentioned, but you know, it's a great community.
I think a lot of businesses now know what the competition is from previous years and they know how big a thing it is. It's a national competition worldwide. So they know kind of what they get out of it and it's a great job.
So when do you sort of send everything off, if you know what I mean, and start sort of the judging process in earnest?
Well, everything is kind of being sent off now. So the car is being finalised, being sent off within the next week or two. Everything, the portfolio has to be done maybe for the end of this month. Everything's kind of in the final stages now. It's not just kind of tidying up everything that we've done so far.
So, Michael, are you content the car is tested? It's as fast as this thing can go?
Well, the car isn't really made yet.
Oh, no.
We have the designs and all. We have Brian.
Misfit Garage.
He's our head designer making the car. So he's hopefully has the designs ready now for Monday or Tuesday.
Well, all the work that you've done and are doing now, hopefully it's just you'll have it spot on. It's just a case of getting it made, throwing it up on the track. How big is this track that you've made?
It's 20 metres long, about 200 millimetres.
Wow.
So it's a pretty big track, like.
Yeah. And then when testing, how do you make sure that you don't fire this up and, you know, it leaves the track or something? There's a danger there too,
fishing line.
You have it sorted.
That keeps just the car going straight.
Excellent.
And then we'll have some, maybe a towel or some silk at the end. That'll just stop the car.
Perfect.
Then
right, tracks. As if it well sorted, so. Can any listeners help you in any way at this point, or you're all sorted now with sponsors and that type of thing? I mean, or just follow, I presume.
Yeah, we have a Facebook and a Twitter.
That's an important aspect too, because it's how viral you can get things much interaction. So that's another important thing. We're obviously going to be linking off ours, but tell us what the URL is and what how people can find out more.
It's Facebook and Twitter.com/dynamicracing.
That's simple.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yep.
And you say the guys last year, lovely bunch of fellas, you don't want them coming in, you know, being the big men on your project either, but they are helping you out, yeah?
We're getting all their... They're helping us out with the portfolios and that, giving us wee heads up.
Brilliant.
What we should be putting in that.
Like, yeah, I mean, I know they had a fantastic time. I was chatting to one of their parents afterwards, you know, sometime afterwards, and they absolutely loved the whole experience. And it's nice a group of guys working together as well on something, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a great match, Alex, so it's great to do.
Fair play. So is there any possibility of a nice trip out of this? How would you secure that?
Well, we're going down to Mayo for our regionals, and then if we qualify
Brilliant.
For the nationals, we'll have a trip down to Dublin then for that.
And
then Texas for the world. So.
Yeah, that's
the big guns.
Exactly. Yeah, if you can get to that, it'd be absolutely brilliant. That's fantastic. Thanks so much for coming in. Keep us up to date. Anything we can do to help you? Facebook and Twitter. It's at Dynamic Racing or /Dynamic Racing, isn't it?
Yep.
And as I say, we'll link all that off ours, and it'll be on the website and that type of thing. Listen, lads, fair play to you. You have all this in hand.
Yeah.
Just kick Botty in Mayo onto Dublin and maybe Texas. Here we come.
Aye, work hard, play hard.
And maybe I'd have to come to Texas at your expense just to ensure to keep people at home what's going on.
Yeah.
So mention the other guys for us, because their mums and dads may be listening. I'm chatting with Michael Lagan and Colm Doherty. You two are from
Dynamic Racing. St Eunan's College.
Yeah. And the other guys involved, just in case they're listening in?
Brian Marley, Aaron Ferguson,
Kevin Marsh.
Fair play. Excellent. Listen, lads, thanks for coming in. It's a credit to the school and your families, and we wish you the best of luck. And who knows, maybe Texas.
That's great. Thanks for having us. Yep, thanks.
CybersafetyAdvice.com is a company based in Ballybuffet. Niall Mulryan is behind the company. He joins me in the programme now. Niall, how are you?
Very well. How are you doing?
Very, very well. And thank you so much for coming on the programme. And we're going to be talking about computers, web safety and what have you. And I said sort of at the top of the show that maybe Santa or whomever may have brought in some tablets and laptops and that type of thing into the house. And it's kind of a scary enough kind of area, because some of us, you know, you want to give children a little bit of freedom, but you don't want them accidentally exposed to anything either. It's a real minefield, isn't it?
And it was great. Good timing, actually, for that question, because that sadly did arrive. It did bring a lot of electronic goods into people's homes this Christmas, and all children are looking for that device to fill their time, and maybe that's something that we need to be looking at too, is are we handing out devices rather than spending time with kids? Mm. And I know it's not very easy because we're all leading busy lives. And with devices in the houses, you know, children are getting that freedom. They are getting to express themselves, but also have they got the confidence? Have they got the safety on what they're doing is correct? You know, there's times, you know, children can see things and think it's maybe naive of them what they think to see. But if you look at another angle, it could actually be dangerous. And children are not just ready for that maybe interruption in their life. But on the other side of it, devices are helping children further their development and education. That is one very good point.
You see, things like, you know, something as simple as YouTube, people might think, well, YouTube's family friendly, you know. What, you know, it's all right to let the child watch that as if it's a TV channel, because a lot of younger people now view YouTube as a TV channel, you know what I mean? It's all on-demand stuff, but it's a lot of salacious stuff there, you know what I mean? If you don't put in the right checks and balances, there's a lot of stuff there that you probably don't want your younger children, or indeed younger teens perhaps, seeing. So how can you protect your children from that type of stuff? Not YouTube specifically, but that type of stuff.
It's very hard. There's no one cure that will fix it all. Just when you're saying about YouTube, when children are watching YouTube and maybe they type on the keywords, I always remember one from years back, the one about Postman Pat. Did you ever hear that one?
Mm. Go on.
The children were putting on Postman Pat, as innocent as Postman Pat was, that keyword was logged to a video that was for over 18s and was explicit, but the kid didn't know it. But when they seen it, it horrified them. And the reaction then that the kid had then might not have been enough positive. Most of the kids would have returned to their parents and said, look, mommy, what I've seen on this, this is disgusting. How can I get it off? Whereas the other ones might have kept watching it and all. And then there's a survey done a couple of years ago about the impact of that kind of material on children. And they're saying that more males would have been keeping it on, whereas girls would have been turning it off.
Because the curiosity is there.
There's a curiosity.
One thing I do is, in my house, is all the connected devices are signed into YouTube on my account. And at that stage, you know, I can check the history, you know, and what's been viewed and what have you. I find that a simpler way. Obviously, there's workarounds if you've got devious little fellas, but and girls to some extent. But sometimes it is a case of actually you just have to monitor.
Yeah, there's two strands to that. One is monitoring. Are you over monitoring your children? Does the child want the parents sitting out watching them all the time? Does the child want to say, well, mommy, daddy, do you not trust me to make my own decisions? You have to give the child some room, but then as well, you want to be responsible that your child is not.
And it's that balance. It's that balance now that's the difficult thing.
Is that word
but
balance?
I suppose you have to maybe take it, you know, child by child. And the internet is an amazing place, but it's also a terrible place in parts too, particularly with social media. And there's so many different strands to it now. You've got Facebook, Twitter, which everyone knows, but then there's Snapchat and, you know, Instagram. There's no end of them. Yeah. So what do we do there?
There will be no end of them. Mm. I remember a couple of years ago, there was an action trying to get Ask FM closed down. You may recall from some of the suicides from cyberbullying, but that and so on wouldn't have been an answer, because you close down one, another will open. Mm. And Ask FM was a predecessor from another website that was causing the same issue. So it's not the website, it's how we maybe educate the children on what happens when they're online.
The consequences.
Consequences, yes, that's kind of like a negative frame, but more is what reaction, what should they do? I always go back to something simple. A lady told me way back years ago when she was small, she grew up in England, and she was in the park, and this man walked by with a big coat on him, and he just opened the coat, and obviously had nothing on, but her reaction was to turn away and run.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's offline, there's nothing to do with technology there, but we need to use that same metaphor when we're online.
I get you, yeah.
So
that flight reaction you'd have in real life, have that flight reaction.
And that's instilled when you're growing up.
Yeah.
Because she was instilled their morals at home, and she kind of knew what that was going on. So if we can't put our children in the closet and close it.
Mm.
They have to express themselves in life. They have to endure the trivialities that we all, you know, make them stronger.
But Niall, I'm asking questions and there's no answer to a lot of them because it's very subjective. But, you know, we'll talk about new rules as it relates to digital consent, but let's just take something as simple as Facebook.
Okay.
You know, you've got a 13, 14-year-old on Facebook. That's quite a mature-ish in this day and age, you know, you're heading towards adulthood, your late teenage years, but it's like, you can't look at my Facebook, you can't look at my Twitter, it's private, you can't check my messages, you know. What do we do in that situation? You know, I mean, do you have to be firm? Or do they have to have the ability to message their friend and say, you know what, Dad is a real pain in my neck? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Figure that one out.
Well, we're born into a digital life.
Yeah.
Of course, we're going to get on the platforms. They want to be on platforms. It is. There's positives to it, as you mentioned earlier. So what can you do if you want? There's used to be the old strand of let the parents be the friends on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
But then what the teenagers and children were doing was setting up another account. And then they're only letting the parents see so much. Can you put on filters on your devices? Yes, you can. You can get monitoring software that you can see all the interactions that your children have done, what they've said. Again, do you need to know all that?
Because and that might be on your router, but are they accessing the separate account in 3G or 4G? Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So I think it comes down to... You can eavesdrop or spy, or even they can show you. But you it's really about having the trust, isn't it? And the open line of communication.
Conversations and trust, yeah, between the child and parent is adamant. So the child can go with the parent. If the child was afraid, so for instance, if you banned your child from, say, Instagram, Facebook, and something happened, is that child going to come to you and say, somebody's been torturing me on this channel? No, because the first thing you're going to do is, I warned you about that, I told you to stay off it, and then you're not going to listen to the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're missing out on that special time.
So what happened in Brussels lately as it relates to the age of consent online?
Nothing has changed of yet. There was an alarm in December that they were going to change it to 16 as the age group.
Now, what would that mean? So what can someone currently consent to at 13 at the moment? Would that be joining social media?
13's like the national limit in Europe. For all the social media, your Facebook, your WhatsApp. And to be on that, you have to lie about your age if you're younger.
Mm-hmm.
We have children as young as 8 and 7 on social media and their different ages. An alarm on some ages they pick is dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in hindsight, they might think that 40 was funny putting it on. But their content around what they're doing online is geared at 4-year-olds.
So theoretically then, changing it to 13 to 16 might send out a nice message, but the net result could be nothing really.
It sounds a positive move because children or parents don't want children on that early, but in hindsight as well, it's a negative move because they are going to get their ways on it. They are going to do it, but also you're limiting what the children are going to be doing online then as well.
Mm.
There's a lot of positives to social media. There's a lot of positives on.
Well, a good piece of advice then out of that is that if you are allowing your 12-year-old to set up a Facebook or Twitter, no, not Twitter, because that's just full of filth. I love Twitter, but you know what I mean? There's no content filter in that. So let's just focus on Facebook then for the moment. If they're going on Facebook, put in a really... If you're going to circumvent the law a little bit, not encouraging it, but don't put in a silly high age.
Okay.
Keep it low, is that what you're saying?
At the minute, 13 seems to be the number that's going around the world. 16, there's a lot of people saying that 16 is too high.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them, and that's why they didn't revert back. That's why they didn't go to 16. They kept it at 13.
Right, let's talk about some software then. What have you any recommendations as to what you could?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of software on the market. One of the leaders has been, and always will be probably, is NetNanny.
Mm-hmm.
You can put it on all your devices, whether it's tablet or it's iPhone or it's Android, computer. You can put it on any device, and it monitors the keywords and gives you a report at the end of the week, a report, and you get an alarm email if something's coming up that you don't like. But again, then, if the child's in John's house, does John's parents have that on their device, and so they could be watching anything? So you can't, you're only limited one area in your own house.
Mm.
Like some houses there, they reckon that there's about 11 to 12 devices that are online connected. Can you monitor them all?
Is there anything then router-based that you can...
There's routers out there now that are pre-programmed now for parents.
Mm.
One of them there would be... that the name was gone.
Well, you don't. People can Google it or whatever, but the technology's there effectively, isn't
it? It's there, yes.
Yeah.
And then you can just set your own filters within it.
Mm.
There is out there.
I mentioned about YouTube and filters. A caller says kids are tech savvy now. If you put filters on devices, they can go on YouTube to disable it. In other words, get information as to it. So, you know, like we can rely, and maybe we're over reliant, do you think now, sometimes on external help. Technology, and a lot of it does come down to
basics.
Conversation, trust.
It is. Simple things. Take away the online worry of it and just go down the normal. Like when you're young, when your children was down the playground with all their children, did you want to make sure who they're playing with? Mm-hmm. Is it safe down there? Are they near a busy road? That was the kind of things we worried about years ago. We still have to worry about it now, even though it's on a digital platform. It's the same.
Apply those same rules.
Same rules. Yeah. But like the seatbelt, do you let your child in the car without a seatbelt? Do you let the child on the computer without first telling them and explaining how it could work?
The thing is, for a lot of people, they a lot of this technology, a lot of these sites are really, really new, you know, within the last 10, 15 years. So the children are being born into them. That is the norm. A lot of mums, dads, guardians, you know, they don't necessarily... Is it important if you don't understand Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, that you familiarise yourself with it then?
Very important. Try and get on it. Try and play about it. Understand what your children can do and are doing on it. So if they're coming to you, you have an idea. Whereas if you just totally blanket, you haven't a notion what they're talking about. And the platforms are changing all the time. There's new platforms. And even the young ones are getting confused what's hot now at the time. So how is that for a parent? Especially there's a gap maybe parents 40, 50, 60, 70. How are they understanding what a 10, 11-year-olds are using? It's a big gap there.
And what we have to do, and it's not scaremongering, it's just sometimes knowledge is power. Don't presume that the young ones are searching this stuff out, because unfortunately there is despicable, horrible human beings that search them out. You know what I mean? So it's not really say, don't do that, don't do that. It's make them aware, as you say, the trench coat analogy. Make them aware that, you know, you don't know who you're talking to. You might be someone who's Jimmy 15. It could be Jimmy 75.
And it's very true. Even recently, there was an article there on that 54% of sixth class children have encountered people, strangers online. And it didn't
fifth faze class.
Them too much.
Sixth class. So that's like 10, 11.
Yeah, 10, 11-year-olds.
And if you thought that was happening in the street, as you said earlier, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you'd be going...
When I was young, I didn't really
speak... You'd call the guards.
Speak to strangers.
You'd call the guards. It's really very interesting. Tell us more about cybersafetyadvice.com.
Well, basically, that was the kind of the brainchild out of the talks I would have been doing with parents and children in schools. And some of the information on that was to help children, but parents more so, to understand some of the positives and negatives on social media, what to do, tips for parents, how some safety devices, some software that you can use, stuff that's happening online, locally and nationally, and maybe can help children as well, learn a wee bit more education about it.
Good. So cybersafetyadvice.com. Anything you think you should add before we move on, Niall?
Hopefully get the
one you're the thing, expert, you know.
The one thing I get across, and being a parent and seeing a lot of parents in this situation, it can be very hard to keep on top of what your child is doing all the time. But if you can have some kind of communication there, open and trust and love, it's the main things I think for any parent. And if you have that with your child, you can relax a little.
And it applies across the board. Because as you say, really good time to talk about this. It's early January, and so, you know, it could be the third year in a row people are asking for this, that, and all, and now they're getting it. So it's good to have that information. Cybersafetyadvice.com. Niall, thanks very much for coming in, and hopefully we'll have you in again.
As I say,
there's been a lot of interest in this piece, and hopefully we've answered all the questions. All right, that's Niall Mulrine from cybersafetyadvice.com, based in Ballybuffet. We'll link the website off our social media and what have you too.
We're my old man. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? We paid paradise, put up a parking lot. Seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paved paradise, put up a parking lot. They paved paradise, put up a parking lot. They paved paradise, put up a parking lot.
Okay, you're tuned to Ireland's number one local radio station, Highland Radio.